Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Lamed Hey. We left off on the top of Daf Lamed Hey. Yom Rav. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ilui Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi each and every day. So we are holding at the top of Daf Lamed Hey, Yom Rav, and we're in the middle of a conversation. The Gemara was discussing, what if a person says, Kikari Alecha? So how much do we take into account the fact that he used the possessive, that Kikari, that so long as it is my Kikar, then it's going to be Asabana. What if I give it to him, Bimatana? Is he now allowed to get Hana from it because it is no longer my Kikar? So the Gemara is going to bring a Raya that when you say Kikari Alecha, it's actually mutter to, for him to receive it as a Matana and then to receive Hana from it. The Gemara is going to bring a Raya from a Brisa. So the Gemara is going to reject the Raya from the Brisa. So the Gemara is going to prove that that rejection is correct. And then the Gemara is going to move into a different discussion. And that is when a person uses the term konam, konam is a lashon of karban, but really you only mean it as a neder. But how literally do we take a neder that's lashon karban? Meaning I'm taking a neder that such an item should be asr bahana'a, but I'm using the term konam. So does it follow all of the rules of karbanos? Is there mi'ila? Is there a violation of mi'ila when you make something a konam? So that's going to be the Gemara's discussion on the second half of Amud Aleph. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah, where the Mishnah is going to list more things that a mudar hana'a, that when you have a neder hana'a, that you're allowed to do for the guy who's not allowed to get hana'a from you. That even though he's not allowed to get hana'a from you, there are certain things that you're allowed to do, such as taking his truma for him, not from your own stuff, from his stuff, that he has a whole bunch of produce, so you're allowed to go and be mafrish his truma. That's not called that you are giving him hana'a or teaching his children Torah. That's not called that you are giving him hana'a. So we're going to have a number of examples of things that you are and are not allowed to do when there is a neder hana'a. And then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to discuss whether Kohanim are considered, when Kohanim do the avodah for us, when they bring our karbanos, are they considered shluchei didan or are they considered shluchei derachmana? Whose shlichus are they doing? Are they doing our shlichus, or are they doing the shlichus of the Ribbono Shel Olam Nachkamina for a mudar hana'a? If I'm not allowed to get hana'a from a kohen when he brings my karbanos, is that a violation of that neder hana'a? And the Gemara is going to suggest that maybe there are different types of karbanos, and when it comes to different types of karbanos, it might have different rules. So let's begin the top of Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. So the Gemara again asks on Rava. Rava said that if you say Kikari Alecha, it's usher for the Muda to get Hana from the Kikar after it was given as a matana from the Madir. That the emphasis is not on the Kikari, it's on the Alecha. So Esive, so the Gemara challenges from a Braisa. Amar lo, if Reuven says to Shimon, Hashileni paroscha, I would like for you to lend me your para. So Amar lo, Shimon says back, Konam para shani kanoi lecha, that this para that I own should be konam to you. This para that it's not shani kanoi lecha, it's shani kanoi. This para that I was kona should be lecha, should be konam lecha, should be asr on you as a neder. That's his commitment. Lechara, the lashon is a little bit strange. The lashon shani kanoi, it sounds like shani kanoi, that I myself am kanoi. What he really means is that the para, it should be konam para shekanisi, that I am the owner of, that I bought. This is grammatically incorrect. So Shidu Gwetzes quotes in the name of the Ritz that Enochinami, he's not being medayik in the lashon of the madir over here, is not being medayik in the lashon of the neder, which is a funny thing to say because there is no madir. There is a gemara. The gemara is it's a brisa. It's not a story. It's not that there was a guy that said this. We're making up a case. So what do you mean he's not being medayik? So the Achronim explain is that it means that this was a manner of speech that people had, even though it wasn't grammatically accurate. So a lot of times you have like that. You have expressions that are not exactly grammatically correct, but they take hold as expressions, and they're the way people say, it's the way people speak. So apparently this was the way people would speak. So konam para shani kanoi, this para that I own should be a konam lecha, should be asr to you for a neder. Or he says to him, nechasei alecha, all of my nechasim should be asr to you, with the tanai, Im yeshli para elazo. If I have any other para except for this one. So the reason that he's saying this is so that the shoel will believe him that he doesn't have another para, because the shoel understands that since he loves, he really likes him, he doesn't want to take a neder min chasav against him, and therefore if he had another para, he wouldn't have asked bekonam the para or the nechasim. So mela, after the shoel is, once the shoel is going to believe him that he doesn't have another para, then the other sandarim explains the shoel is not going to continue to ask him to borrow the one and only para that he has. So that's why he takes such a neder. He wants the guy to stop asking him. So he says, you know, you're my friend, I would never take a neder against you, so I'm only taking a neder out tonight that I have something else. So I don't have anything else, and therefore there is no neder. But once you know that I don't have anything else, you should stop asking me to borrow this one para. Or Reuven says to Shimon, Hashileni kardumcha, I would like to borrow your axe. Amar lo, Shimon says, Kodem kardum sheishli shani kanui, that this kardum that I own should be a konum to you, should be asr to you. Nichsei alecha im yeshli kardum elazeh, all my nechasim should be asr to you if I were to have another kardum, meaning I need this one. V'nimsa sheishlo, but then it turns out he actually does have another para. He actually does have another kardum. So therefore, the neder is going to be chal on this para or this kardom or on all of the nechasim, depending on which one he said, either konam para, para shani kanoi, or kol nechasai. So the neder, whatever neder he took, whether it's on this specific item or whether the neder was on all of his nechasim, the neder is in fact going to be chal. So the halacha is, since the neder is chal, bechayov asr, in the lifetime of the madir, the mudar is not allowed to get hana'a from these items. But if the madir dies, and here's the key, or these items were given as a matana to the mudar, then I raise a mutar, then he's going to be allowed to get anah from it, because the lashon of the neder was sha'ani kanoi, or nichsai, that I own, that my nechasim. So as soon as the bialim dies, they're not called his anymore, so they're not included in the yisr. And similarly, as soon as they're given as a matana, they're not called his anymore, and therefore they're not included in the yisr. So the Gemara's understanding from this bright that we're talking about a case where the Madir himself, meaning when we talk about a Matana, we're talking about where the Madir himself gave the Kardam or the Para as a Matana to the Mudar. So you see that there's no Isra Hana from an object that you received as a Matana, because it was only as long as it's my Para, as long as it's my Kardam. But once I give it to you as a Matana, there's not going to be any Yisr. So this is a kasha on Rava, because Rava paskin that it's usher for a muda to be nena from the objects of a madir, even once the madir gave them to him as a matana. So that's the kasha on Rava. So Gemara is going to answer the kasha. Rabbi Kivegar, though, if you notice in the side of the page in the Gilyan Hashas, says he doesn't really understand what the kasha even is, how this brisa is a kasha on Rava. He points out that the Ran on Lamedalan and Beis explained the reason for Rava that it's also matana, that the guy is not allowed to even receive it as a matana, is because otherwise, what did the guy mean when he said kikari alecha, that my kikar should be asr to you? Even without taking a neder, the guy is not allowed to eat your kikar without rishus. So you must have meant something. So it must mean that by saying that, you're trying to asr it even once you give it to him as a matana. Meaning, when I don't give it to you as a matana and it's my kikar, of course you're not allowed to eat it. It's mine. You're not allowed to come and eat my kikar. I won't have my kikar anymore if you come and eat my kikar. So obviously it's included in the yisr. Why do I have to say kikari alecha? What am I accomplishing when I'm saying kikari alecha? It must be, the only answer is that even when I give it to you, it should remain usr. And that's why Rava held that it stays usr to the guy even after you give it as a matana. But according to that, the Gemara's kasha over here is difficult to understand from this brisa, because that reason that what else could he have meant is only relevant to a kikar where there's no other hana'a other than eating it and using it up and it's gone. So obviously he's coming to asr the hana'a sachila even once you give it as a matana. But in our brisa, we're not talking about a kikar, we're talking about a para, we're talking about a kardum, where there are many ways to get hana'a. You can get hana'a by borrowing it while it's still in the rishon, Rishus of the Madir. So you don't have to say that the Madir is Asering Hana'a that comes after I give it as a Matana. When it comes to my Kikar, the only way you'll ever be able to get Hana'a from it is if I give it to you as a Matana. There's no other form of Hana'a that you can have. But when it comes to my Paru, when it comes to my Kardam, you can get Hana'a even if I retain possession of it. You can get Hana'a by borrowing it, and it's still going to exist. It's still going to be in the world. I'll still be able to get it back. So therefore, there's no hechrich to say that when I say parasi alecha, that I'm including even after I give it to you as a matana. So it has nothing to do with Rava's shayla. So that's Rabbi Kiveger's kasha. Rabbi Kiveger Kedarko says b'tzarchiyim. He leaves the kasha unanswered. Achronim work on the answer. Kedarkom, right? They try to figure out what the answer is. I'm always reminded of the famous maysa where someone came to the stipler where he worked on all of the tzarchiyim of Rabbi Kiveger and Gilgal Mishas, and he had wrote a sefer where he answered every single kasha of Rabbi Kiveger with only three exceptions that he wasn't able to find an answer to, and he came to the stipler to get a skama on the sefer. And the stipler said, it's unbelievable, a guy learned through all of Shas, he learned through every Rabbi Kiveger on Shas, and he only understood three of them, meaning sometimes if you think you have an answer to Rabbi Kiveger's kasha, it's very likely that you don't have the answer. But still, kachi darka shel Torah, we're supposed to try to figure out the answers. So anyway, that's Rabbi Kiveger's kasha. But the Gemara answers, the Gemara gives an answer, the Gemara assumes that this is a raya, and the Gemara says, no, maybe we could reject the raya. Amar Ravacha Breid Ravika Shenitnalo Al Yidei Acher. Maybe the case in the Braisa is not where I give it to him as a matana, that I took a neder, he's not allowed to get Hana from this para, from this kardom, and then I gave it to him as a matana. No, the case is someone else gave it to him as a matana, meaning the matir gave it to a third party, and that third party then gave it to the mudar. That's where Rav is going to be moda, that the mudar is allowed to get Hana from it, because it already was no longer in the reshus of the guy who took the neder, even before the mudar ever got it. So only when the madir gives it to the mudar does Rava hold that that's included in the Yisra Hana. That if I say kikari alecha, that means I'm never going to give it to you. I'm not going to give it to you as a matana. That you can't have it as a matana from me. But if I say kikari alecha, and then I give it to someone else, so now I'm not in control of that anymore. So that somebody else is able to give it to you as a matana, and therefore it's not a raya at all. And the Gemara says, you know what? If you look at the brisa carefully, it seems to be very clear that we're talking about that it was given through a third party. Amar Ravashi Dekanami, it's Meduyak in the Lashon of the Braisa. Dekatani Shenitnalo. It says with a Chiruk under the Nun, Shenitnalo. Sounds like it was given to the Mudar through someone else. Velo Katani Shenisanalo. Not with a Shva under the Nun that he gave it to him, that the Madir himself gave it to him. So you see that Ravacha Breid Ravika is correct, that the Braisa is talking about Dafka, where it was given through a third party. Period. That's the first discussion in today's daf. Now we move on to the second discussion. By Minei Rav Amirav Nachman, Yesh Mi'ilu B'Konamos Olo. A neder that a person asers using a lashon of konam. So is there mi'ila on such an item or not? I mean, you say konam kikar zeh. So konam is a lashon of a karban. So do you make it a karban literally, that it has all the dinim of a karban, where if a guy gets hana from it, he's chayiv in an asher mi'ila, like he's being moel b'kachim? Or do we say that there's no mi'ila outside of actual hegdish? Actual hegdish means something that's really hegdish, and it's asher to the whole world because it's hegdish. Not just something that you use the lashon of hegdish to describe an isra na'a that you're imposing on someone, some sort of neder that's only asr on the mudar himself. So Amalei Tanisua. So Rav Nachman says, you know what? We have our Mishnah is a raya to this din, that when it comes to the din that it's mutar for a madir to be meshev aveda to a mudar. So the Mishnah says makom shenotin aleha sachar. If you live in a place where people who are Meshav Aveda would get paid for their troubles in being Meshav the Aveda, and the Machzir is Mevater on that Zuchus, and he says, no, I don't want to get paid. Someone just texted me this morning that his wife had lost her wallet and her cell phone or something, and the person who found it called him up, and his wife said, let me pay you something, let me get, the guy said, I'm a vatash. So the husband was so excited, that's the best of Yomi coincidence ever, right? That's a dafka that you came to, we made in the Mishnah, that the person's mevater, he's not interested in getting paid, he doesn't want to lose the schar of the mitzvah, so he didn't want any money. So even if you live in a place where the minig is that people do give money, but the person's not, the Meshav Aved is not interested in the money, so we said, you're not allowed to keep keep the money for yourself, because that's going to be called that you're getting hana'a from the madir. So what do? Tipal hana'a lehegdish. Give the hana'a to hegdish. So from the fact that the Mishnah Dafka says, give the hana'a to hegdish, that's an unusual thing. Normally when we say you can't keep it, just no one can have it. So what do we normally say? Tipal hana'a liyam ha-melech. That's what we normally say. Let the hana'a go liyam ha-melech by avodah zarah, things like that. Yam ha-melech means you throw it into oblivion, you make it disappear, you don't have, no one should get anything from it. Why all of a sudden over here we use the term hegdish lemeimah ki hegdish, to teach us that the din of a konam has a din like hegdish. Ma hegdish yesh b'mi'ilah, and therefore, just like hegdish is subject to mi'ilah, af konamos yesh b'mi'ilah. So two konamos have a real din of mi'ilah. So since the Mishnah is talking about something that like hegdish, we're talking about a konam, so we use an expression, we use a lashon of giving it to hegdish. Not that it really changes the halacha, right? The way the Ran understands over here is in a chinami, you could be mashlichal liyam ha-melech also, but the raya is not from the halacha that we're saying that you give it to hegdish. The raya is from the lashon that we're really saying is don't get hana'a from it, just get rid of it. But the lashon that we use of hegdish implies that we treat it like real hegdish. But from the Ran, it's certainly mashma that the mudar is allowed to be mashlich liyam ha-melech as well, and we just use that lashon of hegdish. However, the Rush explains differently. He says the raya of the Gemara is from the din that you have to give it to hegdish, because from that, from the fact that you have to give it to hegdish, tells me that it has kedusha, that it's actually treated like hegdish. Just like Chefzei Hegdish have mi'ila, so two konamos will therefore have mi'ila. And according to the Rush, it's not just the expression that we're using, that we use an expression of give it to Hegdish, but it's not really a din that you give it to Hegdish, you give it mashli amel. No, according to the Rush, it's a din that you can only give it to Hegdish. You can't give it anywhere else. You can't be ma'abed, the damin, by throwing it liyam ha-melech, because when you made it a konam, you actually made it Hegdish. So that's the machlokas between the Ran and the Rush, how to understand the raya from our Gemara. So the Gemara says, you know what, this idea of whether when you take something as a neder with a lashon konam, whether it's subject to mi'ila or not, kitanoi is in fact a machlokas tanoim in the following Braisa. The Braisa deals with two types of konam. There's what's called a konam klali and a konam prati. A konam klali is that a person assers an object with a konam on the entire world. He says, konam davarzeh, that the halacha is that it has a din of hegdish for everybody. Whereas konam prati is a person is the noder assers bekonam only on himself. He says in his neder, konam davarzeh olai, that this thing is going to be a konam to me. So that's going to be different than hegdish, obviously, because hegdish is something that's hegdish for everybody. So when you say konam ze alai, you're not really making it hegdish, because it's only offered to you, it's mutter to everybody else. So it's not actually hegdish. So with that backdrop, kitanayu, let's see what this brisa teaches us. And we're suggesting that there's a machlokas tanayim in this brisa, that where the tanayim themselves argue on this very issue, that when you take a neder b'loshon konam, does it become subject to me'ilo or not? Does it have a full din of hegdish or not? So konam kikar zo hegdish. A person says konam kikar zo hegdish, meaning for the whole world it's a konam klali. It should be aser to the whole world like hegdish va'achala, and the person eats it bein hu bein chaveru, regardless of who eats it, whether the person who took the neder or somebody else eats it. Ma'al, the person who eats it is in violation of mi'ila, and he has to bring karban asham because there is mi'ila b'konamos. Lefichach, and since it's asr to the whole world, yesh, and it's really as a din of hegdish, yesh lepidyon, you can give the money to hegdish and therefore remove its kedusha, just like actual hegdish is subject to pidyon. It could be po the actual hegdish and turn the hegdish into chulin. So this konam that you made hegdish to the whole world, you can also be po the and turn it back into chulin. But if you say kikar zo alai hegdish, you say that this kikar should be to me hegdish, where you only answer it to yourself, you don't answer it to anybody else, va'achala, and then you eat it or somebody else eats it, then the guy himself is in violation of Mi'ilah, but nobody else is, because he only asked it to himself. And because of that, because it's only asked to himself, it's not asked to anybody else, lefichach in the pidyon. Therefore, it's not really hegdish, and therefore it's not really like hegdish, and you're not able to be poded. So the kedusha is not doesn't have that same level of kedusha like hegdish as far as pidyon is concerned. Hegdish, you could be poda. This, you can't be poda. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. But the chamomrim bein kach or bein kach, whether you ask it on yourself or whether you ask it on the entire world, lo ma'al fisha'in mi'ila bekonamos. Either way, it's not mi'ila. Even in a konam klali, even if you say that this should be a konam for the whole world, it's still not really hegdish, and therefore it's not really subject to mi'ila. So there it is, machlokas mufureshes, whether there's mi'ila bekonamos. According to Rabbi Meir, as long as you use it in the proper lashon, you make it a konam klali, there is mi'ila bekonamos, meaning there's no machlokas about a konam prati. That obviously is not going to be mi'ila, but by a konam klali, according to Rabbi Meir, there is mi'ila, and according to the Chachamim, there's not going to be mi'ila. La halacha, the Ran Paskins like Rabbi Meir, that there is mi'ila b'konamos, because Rav Nachman was poshet from the Mishnah, like Rabbi Meir, right? Meaning, initially, when we raised this question, is there mi'ila b'konamos or not? Rav Nachman said, Tanisua, it says, Tipol ana lehegdish in our Mishnah. So he brought the raya from our Mishnah, that yes, that it does have a din of mi'ila, that it does have a din like hegdish. And therefore, even though normally you might say that if machloks are married in the chabim, you might pass them like the rabbim against the yachid, but over here we have a Mishnah that backs up the rabbim. Now, obviously, the Mishnah is Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, so it fits that the Mishnah would go like Rabbi Meir, but a Stam Mishnah is powerful, and therefore the Ran says that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Meir in this din. Now the Gemara has been discussing mi'ila by konamos, if you eat it, if you somehow use it up. But by hegdish, there's mi'ila even if you don't use it up. Meaning there's another way to violate mi'ila by hegdish, and that is just transferring rishus, that you just take something away from hegdish. That someone goes into the base of mikdash and he picks it up and removes it from the mikdash. He's koned for himself, other than the gizbar. The gizbar, if he picks it up, he has not removed it from the rishus hegdish, because yado is kerishus hegdish, because he's the representative of hegdish. But somebody else just moves it out of hegdish, is koned it out of hegdish, then that also is a violation of mi'ila. So what about konamos? When you take konamos out of the rishus of their bailim, is that considered mi'ila as well? So I'm according to Rabbi Meir, according to our Mishnah, that there is mi'ila by konamos, that a konam is such a strong lashon of neder, as long as it's a konam klali, that it's even subject to mi'ila, we mamish treat it like hegdish. Kikari alecha, if a person says that my kikar should be asr to you, unasan lo b'matana, and then you give it to the mudar as a matana, so by being moved from the rishus of the madir to the rishus of the mudar, you have violated mi'ila, just like your mo'al behegdish, by moving it from one rishus to the other rishus. Mima'al, who is in violation of mi'ila in such case? Limal nosein, should we say that the nosein, the one who's giving it, has violated mi'ila? But hello asira, the kikar was never ushered to him in the first place. He never had kedusha as far as he was concerned, so it shouldn't be his violation of mi'ila, because as far as the neder was never on him, it was only on the other guy. So limol makabel, what do you want to say? That the makabel, by receiving that kikar, should be in violation of mi'ila, because now it's been transferred into his rishus? So yachal da'amar, the makabel could say, hetera bi'isi, isura lo bi'isi. Look, I was interested in being kona something that's mutter. I was not interested in being kona something that's asr. I never had das to be kona if it would have been asr. Had I known that kikar was asr to me bahana'a, I never would have been kona in the first place. And therefore, it's a zechia b'taus, and a zechia b'taus is not a zechia, it's not a kinyan. So the nesina was not a hotzah mirishus amadir, and therefore it should not be a violation of mi'ila. It's only hotzah mirishus amadir if I did a kinyan, but a kinyan b'taus is not a kinyan. Every time you do mi'ila, it's a kinyan b'taos, right? Mi'ila, by definition, is only when it's shogeg. Yeah, but that's by regular mi'ila, meaning normally when you take something from Rishos Hegdish, where you're moel, b'shogeg, that's because you're motzim Rishos Hegdish, you're doing a ma'isa hotza'a over here, but the makabel, the hotza'a, is not Rishos Hegdish, alidei ani ma'isa. It's just that it's being caused, that the hotza'a, by receiving it, it's ba'akifin, it's like in this roundabout way, it's causing this hotza'a. hotza'a of the chefetz. So it's dafka when you actually remove something from Hegdish that we have this chiddush din called mi'ila, that even if it was bita'us, when you actually remove something from Hegdish, when you directly remove something from Hegdish, then yeah, even though you did it b'shogeg and you had no idea that it was Hegdish, so we have a chiddush din that there's such a thing called mi'ila. But when it's, that's what the Ran explains. But over here, where this zechiyah is just that if you if it was nikna to you through this roundabout way, if this other guy giving it to you, you weren't the one that was motzi it, so then it, the kinyan can't happen b'taos. So the guy has a taina that I shouldn't be in violation of mi'ila. So Amalei Ravashi says that neither the nosein nor the mekabel is in violation of mi'ila as soon as the nosein gives it to the mekabel, but mekabel ma'al likeshayotzi. If the mekabel still doesn't realize that it's an item that was asked to him ba'anah and therefore has a din of hegdish to him, and then he's motzi it from his own rishos to somebody else, that's when he violates mi'ila. Shekala motzi ma'os hegdish l'chulin, kasav rishol chulin. If a person takes money of hegdish and he's motzi it to chulin while he still thinks that it is chulin, who ma'al? He's in violation of mi'ila. So avzeh ma'al, meaning that's not ba'akifin, that's not, you know, it just happens to come to me. That's you actually being motzi it from the rishos. So when you're motzi something that you thought was chulin but is really hegdish and you give it to somebody else, then you're in violation of mi'ila. Over here also Rabbi Kivega has a problem, because Rabbi Kivega points out, meaning the Ran explains over here, that even though the zechiyah was betalus, but when you're motzi it, you're motzi to another person's rishus, you're chayiv even betalus, because it's an active hotza'a l'rishus. So Rabbi Kivega points out over here, his kasha is a little simpler. It's not a Gilyon HaShas, and Chiddush Rabbi Kivega, that what exactly was the shaila of Ravacha? Meaning this answer is too pashut, because it's a beferusha mishnah in Maseches Mi'ila. The mishnah Maseches Mi'ila tells us that if a person sends money of hegdish through a shliach to buy food from a chenveni, and the shliach realizes and the balabayis realizes that the money is hegdish, so they're not eligible to violate mi'ila because they're mazed. They know that it belongs to hegdish, and so they can't be in violation of mi'ila. Mi'ila is only when you do something b'shogeg. So then the chenveni is moel kasher yotzias hamaos l'chulin, when he then spends the money, when he then gives the money to somebody else. So there you have it beferish that mi'ila, when you're makabel something from hegdish, you're not yet in violation of mi'ila. You're in violation of mi'ila when you've then spent it, when you then gave it to somebody else. So that's the kasher Kivega has. In fact, the Rush in his commentary to our Gemara says quotes that exact mishnah as the basis for our Gemara. So Rabbi Kivega says that he doesn't understand, why do I need a Gemara over here to have a whole shakla v'tarya about something that is an afana mishnah, something that's beferish in the mishnah? Okay, so new mishnah now, daf lamed hey amud bay. So says the mishnah, continuing the list of things that our mutter or usher for a mudra hana to do. So vitarim is trumaso umasrosav. The madir is allowed to take the trumas and maestros of the mudar. I'm not taking my own peros to be mafresh trumas and maestros. I'm taking from his own, from his stuff, I'm being mafresh his trumas and maestros. L'daita, and with his knowledge, you're allowed to do that. Umakrivalov, kine zavin, vikine zavos, vikine yoldos, chatos vashamos, and I could be makriv his karbanos, whether it's he's a zav or she, or it's a she and she's a zava, so they have to bring a bird karbanos, or she's a yoledas, or the chatos and hashamos. There's no isra, because the mudar is not being nene from the madir when they are being makriv the karban for him. And the fact that they're allowed to eat kachim because they this karban has been brought, that's only a gram hana'a. That's an indirect hana'a, meaning the halacha is that mechusre kapar. Zava, only once the carbon is brought are they can be allowed to eat any other carbonos. So why is the fact that I'm bringing their carbon not considered that I'm giving them hana'ah, because now they're allowed to eat other carbonos? Because that's only a gram hana'ah. Similarly, umalamda medrash halachas vagados. The madir is allowed to teach the mudar medrash halachas Nisra Gadlus. That's not considered Nisra Anah, because Lima Torah is a mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lechanos nitnu. That's how the Ran explains. That's why I'm allowed to teach him Medrash Halachos and Agados. The other Rishonim say, and Achronim say a little bit differently. The Rashba and the Mukhe Yosef say that the reason is, says the Madras Mekayim a mitzvah, and therefore he's doing it Litzorach mitzvah, so he's not doing it for the Mudar. That I'm not allowed to give you Hana'a, to give you Hana'a, but I'm not doing this to give you Hana'a. I'm doing this because I want to do mitzvahs Meisim Tovim. I want to live my life doing mitzvahs. Part of my doing mitzvahs is to teach Medrash Halach and Agada. So that's why I'm doing it. The Rashba further writes that since the Noder was never had kavana to asr divrei mitzvah on himself, it's never included in the original neder. When I took the neder not to give you anah, the neder was not to asr myself from doing mitzvahs. So since it's a mitzvah to teach you these things, I never intended to include that in my original neder. Our Sameach suggests, based on Yerushalmi, that since you didn't take a neder anah from the guf hamadir, only from the nechasiv, from the nechasim of the madir, so limud medrash is not considered to be nena minechasav, it's only considered to be nena migufo. Okay, but whatever the reason is, I'm allowed to teach a medrash halachas v'agados. Let's assume pashtos like the Ran, because mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu, and I'm only giving you a mitzvah, and therefore I'm not giving you any hana'a. What about the fact that I'm teaching you for free? Well, anyway, I have to teach you for free. I'm not allowed to take payment to teach medrash halachos and agados. So therefore, it's not a monetary benefit either. Aval lo yilam denu mikra, but I'm not allowed to teach the guy mikra in a place where it's customary that people get paid to teach mikra, because then there's a financial benefit to it. Aval mlamidu as banavas benos mikra, but I am allowed to teach the children of the mudar mikra, because the father is not getting any anah from it, because even though he has a mitzvah to teach his own children Torah, and I'm doing his work for him, that's not considered anah, because mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu, and it's not considered a hanah from the fact that I'm saving him the tircha of having to teach his children, because that's only a gram of bialma, and a gram hanah is going to be mutter. There is a discussion in the Achronim, is there anything that could be derived from the fact that we say over here, Melamidu es banav ve'es benosav, to teach his sons and his daughters mikra. You know, the Rambam famously writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Parak Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, that Isha Shalom de Torah Yesh La Sachar, a woman learns Torah, she gets schar, avalok is schar ish, not the same schar that a man gets, because she's not mitzuvah, so that we have the klal of Gadol mitzuv yosa yosa mishena mitzuv yosa. Even though a woman gets schar for learning Torah, tzivu chazal shalo yilamid adam's bito Torah. Chazal tell us you shouldn't teach your daughter Torah. Mnei sharov anashim ein daitan lechov anos l'slamid umotzius of retol divrei avay l'fi anis daitan. Because women in the time were uneducated, and therefore they're unlikely to understand the Torah properly, and it's going to they'll understand it on a very superficial level, which is going to be bizayin haTorah. So amru chacham kam lamid is bito Torah kilu malam de tiflus, and therefore the Gemara says in Sota that when you teach a woman Torah, it's as if you teach her tiflus. But medvar mamurim b'torah shval peh, but that's only Torah shval peh. Al Torah shemiksav lo yilamid osa lechachila. Torah shemiksav you also shouldn't teach, but vim lamda enu kam lamda tiflus. So you see clearly you're not allowed to teach Torah Shebichsav either lechalchila, but Torah Shebalpeh, it's us even b'diavad, right? Not supposed to teach it at all. So the Gra says, where does the Shulchan Aruch get this idea that the issue to teach Torah Shebichsav is only lechalchila? So he says, from our Mishnah, the Bir Gra, the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in Yardes, and Reish Membav Sivkan Chafei, says from our Mishnah, Melamid who has banav es benosav. So it sounds like a father teaches his daughters. That's what Maritz Chayis writes in Sotu Chavalef, Daf Chavalef as well. However, the Gra says that the Rambam doesn't have the word benosav in his version of the Mishnah. He just writes Malamid who has banav, because the Chachila, the father, should not teach his daughter Torah either. But if you have the word benosav, it would imply that even the Chachila, you should teach Torah Shebuksav. The Taz in Yerodeh has a different makar for the idea that there's a difference between Torah Shebuksav and Torah Shebalpeh. Not from our Mishnah. The Taz says it's from the mitzvah of Hakel, that the halacha is that Nashim, everyone comes to Hakel, including the women, and the king is reading the Torah. But the Taz says all you see from Hakel is pshutei dvarim, is that simply to hear the simple pshut shel mikra, just to hear the pesukim being read, but no level of iyun whatsoever. Meaning chumish, not chumish Rashi. That's all you would get from Hakel. So famously, the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Kutei Halachos in the Masechta Sota that about the isra of the teaching one's daughter Torah, nira shekol zeh dafka bizmanim shelufanenu. That was in the old days. Shekol echad haya dar b'makom avosav v'kabalas ha'avosav chazak ma'od, where everyone had very strong family traditions and everyone lived near their families. Eitzakol echad v'echad l'snaig v'darach shadarko avosav v'kamay marakosav sha'alavich v'yageidcha, that everyone just followed what their babis and zaydis did, and they saw growing up what the babis and zaydis did, and they wanted to mimic their babis and zaydis. But zayin v'cholim lomar shlotum ha'torah v'tismach b'anag alavosav ha'yisharim. Then it was feasible to say that if a woman doesn't learn Torah, she could still be a from person because she could rely on the previous generations. Aval ke'es, says the Chafetz Chaim, but nowadays, it's just not the way we grow up. We grow up with so many other influences around us, and people move far away from their families, and the family traditions aren't so strong. Especially if you're being educated in other areas, you're learning Russian, the Russian language and literature. Bevade mitzvah rabbel lamdom chumish v'gam nevi muksuvim musari chazal gomasechus avos sefer menorah samar uchadoma. So then certainly you need to learn the basics of emunah, otherwise no one's going to be from. So Chafetz Chaim says what used to be an isser becomes a mitzvah. So the question is how exactly do you understand that Chafetz Chaim? Rav Tversky in his hesped for Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that when Rav Soloveitchik encouraged the women to learn Torah Shebal Peh, it was not any different than the Chafetz Chaim. It was just a matter of degree that when women were learning basic reading and writing of Russian, so in order for the Torah to compete, you had to learn Tanakh. But when women are getting PhDs and they're learning things on the highest levels, so for the Torah to compete, you have to teach Torah in a more sophisticated way. On the flip side, Vayol Moshe, the Satmar Rebbe, says, no. The Chafetz Chaim only said about Tanakh, because Tanakh was never really Aser. Torah Shebal Peh was Aser. Halachas don't change. It was just that the minhag was not to teach Tanakh. So the Chafetz Chaim said, we need to change the minhag, but we're not going to change the halacha. That's an interesting reading. I mean, the way he reads the Rambam is that when the Rambam says not to teach Torah Shebal Ksav either l'chalchila, he just means that as a minhag, not as a din, because you can't change the din. Interestingly, Rav Soloveitchik would read it as, no, it's a din that you're not allowed to teach even Tanakh. And the din changed because obviously more important is that someone be a basic Shomer Torah mitzvahs. So anyway, not for now. So the shaila is as follows. Hani kani, shluchei di don havu o shluchei di shemaya? When Kohanim are makriv karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, are they considered the shliach of the Baal HaKarban, or is it they're considered the shliach of the Ribbono Shlom? So my nafkamina l'mudra anah. Nafkamina would be if there's a neder anah from the Kohen, that this the guy who's bringing the karban has a neder, he's not allowed to get anah from that Kohen. Is that Kohen allowed to bring his karbanos? If they are the shluchim of the Baal HaKarban Hamahanile, then the Kohen is giving the mudar hana'a by bringing his karban va'asr. But v'yamr shluchim to Shemaya, but if you're going to say that it's shluchim to Shemaya, shari, then it's going to be, then the Kohen is allowed to be makrif for him because he's not doing any shlichus for the mudar. He's doing it l'shamayim. So what's the din? Tashma says, well, I'll bring you a raya that the Kohanim are considered shluchim to Shemaya and not shluchim didan. Titna and makrif love kinei zavin. We said in our Mishnah that you're allowed to bring the kinei zavin and zavos and yoledos. So I amit, if you're going to say shluchim didan, that the Kohanim are our shluchim, so you're being mahana the mudar by bringing his karbanos for him. So we should ask you to bring his karbanos. So from the fact that you're allowed to bring his karbanos, it's a raya that they're shluchi de shemaya. So that's why it's mutter to be makar of the karbanos. Says Gemara, it's not a raya. L'tameich, based on what you're trying to learn from the Mishnah, listen, makar of karbanos. Why doesn't the Mishnah just say makar of karbanos? Why does the Mishnah start identifying types of karbanos? Kine zav and zava and yoledas. What do those karbanos have in common? All of those karbanos have in common that it's not there for a kapara, for a chet. It only comes to be matir kadshin, but it's not a kapara for any particular aveira. El mechusrei kapara shayni. So you see that it's different than other karbanos, that dafka, the Mishnah chooses those karbanos that are not there to provide a person with kapara for an aveira, it just allows a person to be able to eat karbanos. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, kol tzrich and das, because after all, Rabbi Yochanan says, all karbanos, you need the das of the bailim, since you know they're there to achieve kapara and chet, chutz mimchoshe kapara, except for these types of karbanos that we're talking about in the Mishnah, where you don't even need the das of the bailim. If you have a young child that needs to bring these karbanos, you could do that too, and you could bring it for them too, because you don't even need the das. So the kohen is not makriv for the bailim when in the case of mechusrei kapara, and that's why the Mishnah says you could do it. But maybe by other karbanos, you are being makriv for the bailim. Shariyada, maybe karban albanim albanos v'ketanim, because the halach is you could bring karbanos for your children, for young children who don't have any das. Shneimar zos toras hazav ben gadol ben katan, because zos toras hazav implies whether the zav is a gadol or a katan. So you see, mechusrei kapara are different. Elameat al Rabbi Yochanan. Wait a second, that drasha zos toras hazav. Torah means gadol or katan. And what do you do with the pasuk zos toras hayoledes ben katana ben gadol? Does that mean a yoledes could even be a katana? A katana bas ledehi? Is that even possible? Vatani Rabbi b'kamid Rav Nachman shalosh nashim sham shos b'moch, that there are three women that are supposed to have tashmish using moch, which is a type of birth control, so that they don't become pregnant. Katana mubar sumenika, because katana shemit sabra v'tamos, and one of them is a katana, because if she gets pregnant, she's going to die. So there's no such thing as a yoledes that's a katana. So says Mara, he zos toras hayoledes. No, that zos toras hayoledes teaches me bein pikachas bein shota shkeinad maybe carbon alishto shota k'tiv Rabbi Yehuda, means even if she's a shota then you could bring her carbon. The tanya Rabbi Domer adam maybe carbon ashir al ishto kol carbon shechayeves kosev shekach kosevla v'achrayis dislach alay min kedemus dina, because he's allowed to bring all of her carbonos since that's part of the agreement in the ksuba that he's going to be responsible for her carbonos. So that's what the zos toras by yoledes means. But over here the zos toras means bein gadola bein ketana bein gadol bein katan, and therefore you see that dafka bein mechusrei kapara you're able to bring their karbanos, but maybe there are other karbanos you would not be allowed to bring. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Great day, everyone.